Today, my friends, we're going to learn a mimer, or part of a mimer, that the Rebbe delivered on Shabbos Parshas Vayikra. The date was the 3rd of Nisan. The year corresponds to 1982. And the mimer opens with the verse, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban lahavaya. A person from amongst you who brings a korban, an offering. I hate the word sacrifice, but it's a Greek word, but that's what the word people use anyway. It's animal offerings in the base of Migdash, and we're talking about something which people have difficulty wrapping their heads around these days, but that's what Leviticus, that's what the book of Vayikra is primarily about. So, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban, a person from amongst you who brings a korban. So the korban can be brought min habakar, from cattle, min hatzoin, from sheep, and takriva is korbancham, you bring close this offering. So the Rebbe opens this mimer by quoting a question, or a diuk, a precise analysis of this verse from the Rebbe Rashab, from the fifth Rebbe, who incidentally is the Baal HaHilula, whose Histalkos is on the second day of Nisan. That's pretty close. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shabbos will be Aleph, Sunday will be Beis. So oftentimes the Rebbe would deliver a mimer close to a Yom HaHilula, close to the day of the passing of one of the Rabbeim. He would focus on their teachings with their questions. So the Rebbe Rashab has an interesting diuk, a diuk which is not found by the Rebbeim previously. What is the diuk? Lama tzarech lahakdim mitchilas inyan adam ki yakriv. Why do we have to begin this whole parsha sakarbanis, this whole set of the Torah that deals with offerings? Why do we have to deal with a person who is impelled to draw close and therefore is going to bring a korban? Like, why is it important to know the state of a person or when a person shall decide or want to bring a korban? Here's what he or she should do. Why don't you just say, here's the halachas. Im oila korbanoi, if the offering is an oila, if it's an ascent offering, it's such and such. If it's not an ascent offering, it's such and such. But it's like, let's talk about the subject matter. Why do you have to introduce this? Very often in Torah, especially in halacha, but often in Torah, we have an issue that's being introduced. Don't give the background. You know, people have an neshama, and they want to do what Hashem wants, so they're being inspired, so they want to draw close. So in that case, should they come to bring an offering? Okay, so here's how the offering should go. That should be implicit. It's not really important. And if you want to talk about the meat and potatoes, the nuts and bolts of what's going on here, if we have halachas or rules to convey, so just convey the rules. Just here, these are the facts. The textbook doesn't begin. If a Canadian should be law-abiding, and he or she should desire to follow the law, and they wish to pay the taxes, here is the first tax law. Tax law A, do such and such. It just starts off. Here's the rules. Here's the rules. There's no niceties in Chumash Vayikra. It's not a book of stories. It's not a book of sentiments. It's not a book of faith. It's a book of rules. It's a book of laws, laws that govern offerings, laws that govern based on Migdash service. That's what this is a book of. So start that way. I think that's the question. Just start off with the pasuk that speaks about offerings. Another thing that has to be understood is the fact that it says Adam. So now we are introducing this whole business of offerings, and we introduce it with the word Adam. What's an Adam? Adam's a person, if you want to get very technical. That's what it is. Adam's a person. But it could also mean a man. Man as in people. I know that's a contentious thing these days. Mankind, people kind, humankind, ridiculous kind, whatever. It's not offensive to anybody for whatever reason. That's just language, okay? So Adam is, you see, man has a job and God has a job. We're not speaking about a man, not a woman. It's people. So we have used the word Adam. Now, there are actually Dalet Shemes. There are four names that man or human or people are called in the Torah. And they are, on a rising scale, Enosh, Gever, Ish, and Adam. So from the four different names, Adam is Meira al Hamadrega Hayesenailas. The word Adam is indicative of the loftiest characteristics. That's the Adam. The Adam represents the highest kind of character, which is a subject for another day. But please accept that this is a fact that's discussed elsewhere at great length. Now, korbanos, offerings, as a rule, boim al chet. They come for sins. Sin is a unfortunate but practical part of the human experience. If we are human, we are to sin. That's just the way it is. As Shlomo HaMelech put it, Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yechta. There is no righteous person who doesn't fall short. That's really what the word sin means, incidentally. The word sin has the same gematria as the word chesara. It's falling short. We all fall short sometimes. As they say in baseball language, you can't bat 1,000 all the time. It's not possible. Babe Ruth didn't bat 1,000 all the time. You can't come out always being perfect. No speaker is always on top of his or her game. No artist is always on top of his or her game. No performer is always, you know, maxing out. You practice, and you hope that the actual performance, when it really counts, it's going to be a stellar performance. Precisely because that's not a given, that's why we say that so-and-so delivered a stellar performance. Why? Because it can go the other way. People try really hard. They want to do the right thing. They want to succeed. It doesn't always work. As it says elsewhere, you need to have mazel also. It's a mazel. Like even Sefer Tereshu Behechel, which is like this holiest of artifacts, just have mazel too. But we're not talking about mazel here. We're talking about just like people fall short. So korbanos are about overcoming shortcomings. Here's how we make up for a shortcoming. And you say, what are you talking about? But this opens up with korban ola. It's an ascent offering. The ascent offering is not brought as the result of a shortcoming. The Rebbe says, well, it's bola chaper al mitzvah saseh. It doesn't come to atone for sins of commission, but it does come to atone for sins of omission. Things you could have done, should have done, maybe would have done, but for whatever reason didn't do. So offerings, by their nature, by the very definition, they connect to shortcomings or omission or even something more egregious. That's just the way it is. So Vim Kane, if so, if you had to use a name, if you had to use a word, if you had to, what would it be? You're talking about a person who's involved in bringing an offering. What would it be? Shouldn't be Adam, because Adam is the perfect person. Adam is the mensch we all aspire to be, but oftentimes aren't. So if you want to say, this is a perfect mensch, and he wants to bring a korban. No, say he's a very, very imperfect human, and now he's going to bring a korban. This is the gift that the Torah gives us. You have the opportunity to be able to connect Hashem. You have the opportunity to make up for your shortcomings. I was talking to Zelda on the radio a few days ago, and she made a very, very loud point that I don't believe in offerings. I don't believe in sacrifices. It's a horrible thing, sacrifices. Okay. So I said to her, you love your dog, don't you? Oh, of course I love my dog. What does that have to do with anything? So what do you feed your dog? I wanted to go somewhere else with the question, but she says, I don't feed my dog dog food. I feed my dog chicken and turkey only. I said, are you not offended that the turkey had to die for your dog? You killed the turkey for your dog? So what, your dog is better than the turkey? What are you talking about? She says, dog is my dog. I said, oh, no, I don't understand. Okay. So a turkey had to die for him? Well, that's a purpose. I said, to feed your dog, to make your dog happy, that you can relate to killing a bird. But to making Hashem happy, forget about why it makes Hashem happy. I didn't say I don't understand. Fine. But that offends you? I said, are you offended by the leather shoes you're wearing? I know she was leather shoes. Are you offended by that? Does that anger you also? Well, animal rights. I said, what does it mean, animal rights? I don't know what explain that to me. When the korban, the animals are killed quickly and painlessly. Ritual slaughter is the most painless, humane way for an animal to be killed. Explain to me, what is the issue? What is the problem? Because to you, a korban is a waste. Okay, understood. For us, a korban is not a waste. For us, a korban is a way of serving Hashem. It sounds weird to us. Why does God need that? Why does God need my tefillin for? Why does God need your candle for? Why does God need anything for? I don't know. But that's what Hashem asks for. So if Hashem asks for it, we have the opportunity to be able to respond to listen to what Hashem wants. Does Hashem ask for animal offerings now? No, he doesn't. Okay, so then we do it now. Mashiach will come. We'll have a Beis HaMikdash. We'll do what Hashem wants. As it says, V'shom na'avad chadil, will serve Hashem the way k'mitzvah sitzenecha. So the word Adam doesn't fit here. It's like not appropriate. And the last question is a much older question in Chabad literature. It goes back to the Alter Rebbe, famous Ma'amarim Melekut HaTorah, where it says, Adam ki yakrev mikem, which freely translated reads as a person who sacrifices from amongst you. It sounds like a human sacrifice. Of course it isn't. There's no such thing in Judaism, but it sounds like that. Where the right grammar would have been a person from amongst you who sacrifices, which Adam mikem ki yakrev, not Adam ki yakrev mikem. Because when it says Adam ki yakrev mikem, it sounds like it's happening from amongst you. So what's going on over here? Ubir ha'inim. The explanation, my dear friends, goes like this. Hine mevur betanya. It's explained in the book of Tanya. And it's actually not the Alter Rebbe's idea. It comes from the writings of the Arizal. It's found in Pri Etz Chaim, in Etz Chaim. The neshama atzma eino tzricha tikun. The soul is not broken. The soul does not need to be fixed. It doesn't need to be fixed. So the question would be, why did the soul come down to this world? And people would say, to get fixed. And our response is, nah, the soul's not broken. If the soul's not broken, it didn't have to come to this world to be fixed. So, v'layar d'lamata, why did it come to this world? Why did it have to assume a corporeal form? And the answer is, l'takedes haguf, to fix the body. The body's broken. To fix the nefesh ha-bahamas, to fix the animal soul, that's broken. Chelkei ba'olam, the part of the world that you will come in contact with during the course of your terrestrial lifetime, that's broken. Whose job is it to fix it? Your job. You have to fix a broken world. Yes, God created a jagged, broken, imperfect world. And he said, be my partner. Help me fix this. Which, by the way, is the meaning of tikkun olam, that bandied about terminology that people love to abuse. So the meaning is that this world is broken, and our job is lasis mikol in yoni ha'elam, to make of all that the world has to offer, mishkan migdash le'izbarach, a sanctuary, a dwelling place for God. That's why we're here. We're here because God created a broken world, and he gave us the opportunity to be his partners in fixing it. The Friedrich Rebbe, in his Maimarim of Yud Shvat Maimarim, the Basel Gani Maimarim explains, Sha'achas ha'avedas ha'ikriyes, that one of the primary modes of service, one of the primary thrusts of this trying to make the world a holier, a godlier, a gentler, a better place, and that's paradigmatic of Mishkan, of Migdash, of Tabernacle, of Sanctuary, Hoysa avodas ha'karbanis. This was the avoda, the quote-unquote service of the offerings. The korban hu lashon kiruv, because korban at its root source actually doesn't mean sacrifice. As I said at the outset of this week's class, of today's class, in the Sefer HaBohir, which is one of the earliest books of Kabbalah, in fact the second book of Kabbalah ever to be compiled, and for many, many, many centuries, it was the only book of Kabbalah that we had, the only early book, only later the Zohar was rediscovered. So Sefer HaBohir, it states clearly that the word korban is a permutation of the Hebrew word kiruv, which means closeness. Incidentally, later when we found the Zohar, we found out that that's not a Sefer HaBohir idea, it actually says it in the Zohar. And the Shalah talks a lot about this. So the idea of korban is kiruv. What is it? What is a korban then? And this is why sacrifice is such a bad word. Right? It's so wrong. They so don't mean anything from a Jewish perspective. To sacrifice means to give when it's hard. To sacrifice, for example, from other faith systems' perspective is when it's hard for you to give that money to tzedakah. It hurts for you to give that money. Or the prayer was a painful thing to endure. You did it. Ah, that's such an act of homage and loyalty and love to God. You're so good because you're ready to suffer. You suffered for God. You suffered. It's all about suffering. But we're not into this whole suffering servant business. We're not into suffering and hurting yourself and inflicting pain. It's not about that. It's about making the world a better place. That's what it's about. If you enjoy doing it, lucky you. You hate doing it, sorry, tough luck. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not about us and our feelings and how we relate to things. It's not about us. There's a bigger perspective here. The perspective is God wants you, lets you be a part of his bigger picture. Fix my world. Make this world a holy place. So that's what the korban is. The korban is kiruv. It means the karev in yoni ha'olam, to draw close, to bring close worldliness. Well, olam does not just mean worldliness because there's this big bad world out there. Olam at its root source comes from the word helam. Helam means concealment. That means God created a reality which is being powered and animated every single moment by God himself, and it's not seen at all. God covers his fingerprints, his footsteps 100%. So God makes all of this exist, and people say, where's God? And the more they learn about the world, the less they're able to see God. The more they say God doesn't exist. It's the most unbelievable thing. That's world. World is concealment. So the world mocks and laughs at what we believe in. But that's what the whole world was created for. The whole world was created, Bereishis Bara was created for Yisrael and for Torah. And the world mocks and laughs at Torah and Yisrael. Okay, that's par for the course. That's what this world is about. That's what its definition is. It's hell and vehester. So what's our job? Our job is to make that concealment a little less dense, a little less apparent, a little less tangible. Our job is to refine this world. Lasis kelim alakus, that the world should become a vessel, a vehicle, a convention, and an envelope that reflects godliness instead of conceals and ignores godliness. That is what it's all about. Ukemaimer, this is the meaning of what says in the Zohar, Raza de Kurbana, Eila ad Raza de Insef, that the mystery of the offering penetrates and arouses the mystery, the deepest mystery of the God's infinitude. The Haino, that means, not as many would read, that the Korban is a mystery, and it seems so ugly, and seems so at odds with what Western civilization believes in, so we say, you know what, it's a mystery. You don't understand it. I don't understand it either. None of us understand it. It's a mystery. But this mystery unlocks something mysterious about the essence of God. Okay, that's a simple way of reading it. But a deeper way of reading it is that the Raza de Kurbana, what is the mystery? What is the essence, the quiddity of the offering? What is it all about? It's about unlocking the mystery of godliness, which is Sha'isa Mikalanyane Ha'elam, to make from everything that is worldly and by its creation, in a state of concealment, to reveal that actually, no, it's a part of godliness. It's created by God. It has a godly purpose. That umamshir bahem b'chinas ikar shchina. You can draw into that. You can channel within it, or reveal even from within it, the notion that there is the essence of God's presence right there. So raza de korbana, oil ad raza de yosef, means that it's through the korban that we're able to bring forth the greatest mystery of divinity, unlock the mystery of divinity. That this world shouldn't be a helem, the world should be a concealment. Instead, the world should become gilui, a place that reflects godliness. Zehu imre Adam. Now we'll go back to our question. Question: what is this whole business of Adam ki yakrif? Why are we talking about Adam? Because there's an implicit question before we even begin the offerings. Once you look at offerings this way, what's the most obvious question anybody could ask? I could do this. We can do this? Really? How can we do this? I'm not that hatsy-tatsy. I'm not that perfect. I'm not that spiritually minded. I'm not that righteous. How could I do this? How could any of us do this? How could we take a world that God created broken and make it whole? How can we take a world that God created as a world of concealment and turn it into a world of revelation? How can we do that? Well, what's the answer? The answer is Hakoyach Lakarev in Yonei Elam, the power, the wherewithal, the ability to bring worldliness, which is by definition distant, to bring it close, Le'elikus, Lubchinas Adam. Because you're an Adam, that's why. That's why. V'inyinu, the thing is like this. When we talk about Adam, we say that Adam is Nikra Hashem Adam Le'elyin. Adam has to be understood as a reflection of the divine, in the image of God. So the Shalah, he talks a lot about this. He says, the if you want to talk about the magnificence of a human being, the essence of a human being, the potential of a human being, is that he or she could be Adam Le'elyon. We could be in the image of God as Most High. We can be godlike. That's the meaning of Adam. What does it mean, Adam Le'elyon? That we can make mitzvahs, we can lord over others? What does it mean? It means, Kimavur, but Lukut HaTeira, Parsha Seinu, like he explains in the Lukut HaTeira of this week's Parsha, the Neshamas Yisrael, Hem Bechinas Shluchim Shalomayla, that the souls of Israel are considered to be like Shluchim, which means agents, emissaries, ambassadors of He who is Most High, of God. Veshluchim Shal Adam, we have a halachic principle that says that when a person is empowered as a Shliach, they become Kimoisoi, they become just like this person. So let's talk about this in a very literal, technical fashion. A person has to show up in court and they have to make a certain claim, or they have to be there to make a certain disclaimer. They have to be there. You got to be there. That's the rule. That's the law. A person can't make it. What could they do? they could send somebody else, they could empower somebody else to speak on their behalf. So this person will be signing on my behalf. So that becomes a shliach. The person says, you have the right to bind the company, I've been empowered to bind the company. My signature, my handshake, yes, I have the right. I've been, but you're not the boss, you don't own the company, that's true. But I was empowered by the boss, so I'm representing the boss. So that means, when we talk about this principle, insofar as Adam Le'elyon is concerned, that we mean that every one of us represents nothing short of Almighty God Himself. That's why the world doesn't like us, because the world doesn't like God. So the world doesn't like God's agents. They call us secret agents. We are secret agents. We're God's agents. It's not such a secret even. Everybody seems to know about it except us. That God empowered us to make this world a better place. People say, where does anti-Semitism come from? You know what the Medr says? Medr says it comes from Sinai. You know what Mount Sinai is called? Sinai? Misham yorda sinah la'olam. That's where hatred came down to this world. Hatred came to this world from Sinai. Hatred came from Sinai. Sinai is Torah. Sinai is love. Sinai is communions. No, Sinai, but because once we were empowered, everybody else didn't like us all of a sudden. And this is a job we have. Like it or leave it, but this is a job you have, my friends. Your job is to be a shliach of Hashem. And because your job is to be a shliach of Hashem, whose power of agency do you carry? God's. V'gam mitam ze'am razal, incidentally, just to broaden this, we have an expression in Medrash Tanchuma that says, quote, "Have mechabden es ha-mitzvahs shehem shluchai." God says, respect my mitzvahs, because they are my agents. The shluchah shel adam ha'elyon k'maisei, because our shliach is just like the mishalech, the one who sent him. So ultimately, when you disrespect the shliach, when you disrespect the agent, who are you really disrespecting? The mishalech, the one who sent him, because the person doesn't come by his own power. You're disrespecting the origin, the source of that shlichut. So a person disrespects a mitzvah. Who is he disrespecting ultimately? Hashem. We all understand that. It's not hard for us to understand. There's a famous mitzvah, maybe it's not so famous. When you slaughter an animal, like a bird, or like a deer, so any korban, which a korban can't be brought from, so you have to cover the blood. It's called kisi adam. Now, the slaughterhouses are not exactly beautiful places to be in. They're not clean environments. And, you know, somebody might easily think that if I slaughter the blood, how am I going to cover the dust? How am I going to kick the dust over the blood? Just, I'll use my shoe. Just, you know, it's dirty. Use my boots. So there's a halacha that says, no, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to use your hand. The smag even says use the knife. There's a machlekes if you use the knife, specific something about the knife, or use your hand. But the Rambam follows the side of the hand. Why? Because you should respect the mitzvah. You don't kick a mitzvah. Use your hand. You do respectfully. So what, am I respecting the blood of a chicken? No, I'm respecting God who told me to cover this blood. If you disrespect the mitzvah, you disrespect the one who gave the mitzvah. If you show respect for the mitzvah, then you're showing respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not showing respect for the leather of the tefillin, you're showing respect for what the tefillin represents. When you kiss the mezuzah, you're not kissing a piece of parchment. You're not paying homage to the scribe who worked hard to write it. You're respecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulumayla Yeser, furthermore, if this is not inspiring enough for you to know that you're a shliach of Hashem, that you represent God here in this world, even higher, hini anu emrim, behold, we say in our morning prayers, neshama shenasata bi tahirahi, the soul you gave me is pure, which means on a mystical level, the sheirish u'makar ha-neshama, that the source of the neshama, hu b'chinas tahiru ilah shalomayla ma'atzilus, it represents the purest essence of divinity, which is even higher than the world of Atzilus, because inasmuch as Atzilus is like the emanation or the light that comes from a source, so the light that's right down here is connected to the light inside the bulb. And if you turn the light off the bulb, what happens to the light that's right here? It disappears automatically. Why? Because the light and the bulb are inextricably linked. And the effulgence that comes from the light, the ray that comes from the light, is always connected to the source of the light. No, but that's still a step outside. Yes, technically the light will disappear once the bulb is turned off, but nonetheless, that's still separate. It's not one with the light or the luminary or the source itself. But Tehiro Ilah means the world of is higher than Atzilus. The world of Atzilus is the light, the emanation, the ray. The world of the reality of Tehiro Ilah is the purity of divinity itself. And that is where your neshama comes from. Neshama shenasati b'tahirihi. It doesn't mean your neshama is pure, not dirty. Is that a given? How could a neshama be dirty? It comes from God. Could it have a dirty neshama? Have an ugly neshama? A broken neshama? It comes from God. But the message here is, it's higher than the loftiest spiritual reality. The neshama is yet higher than that. And even higher, we go further, and in Chassidus it says that the source of a neshama is the very essence of divinity, atzmus, a level of divinity that we have no descriptive terminology to use because it's beyond anything we could possibly imagine. That's where the neshama comes from. The Hinik, if behold, it's written in the book of Divrei Hayomim, Im HaMelech B'Melachtei Yoshvu. So over there it's speaking about a particular group of people who lived in a particular place. The place was called the Kozeva, and it says they were sitting with the king, which meant they were working for the king, and because they were working for the king, they were alongside the king at the time. But the deeper meaning of that verse, and like all verses of the scripture, it has a deeper meaning. The deeper meaning is the min nimlach. We're not talking here about work, we're talking about who did God consult, so to speak. Who did God consult when it came to creation? B'nishmaseim shel tzadikim. It was as if consulted with the souls of the righteous. Because the consultation, so to speak, for Bria Sa'ilam. So before you go to do something, you have to have a consultation. So before God created the world, who is he consulting, so to speak? Neshamas Yisrael. How they move, and it's understood, Shem Lamaila Meha'ilam. We are not part of this world. We precede this world. We're beyond this world. We come from a place that's deeper and higher. This world cannot limit and shackle us because we come from before the world. We precede the world, are dominated by the world. And because that's the case, because that we existed, Neshamas Yisrael existed before creation or universe or reality existed, even the highest spiritual reality. Ubahem nimlach al inyan abriya. Not only we existed, but Hashem even consulted us, so to speak, our neshamas, should there be bria seilamus altogether? Because the source of the neshama is the very essence of God Himself. Adam, al shem Adam el Elyon. That's the meaning of Adam, which is Adam in the image of the Elyon, that he was most high. Umekivon shehem Adam el Elyon. Because we are in the image, we're in the likeness of God. Lachin biyicholton lekarev eskol inyan ha'ilmo. Because that's how we can bring the entire world closer to God through the idea of a karban. So the first question was, why do we start off with this business of Adam ki akrev mikem? And we also talked a bit, why does it have to be the idea of Adam? Why give this introduction and why use that name? And the answer is because this introduction and that name is the ability for us to change this world. That it makes the case for Korbanus, the whole idea of Korbanus. And then you want to know why it says Adam ki yakrev mikem, first from yourself. So the Rebbe goes on to say that when it comes to making the world a better place, first you have to kshayt atzmecha. The Medrash says before you scold everybody else, before you try to make everybody else right, make yourself right. In other words, that before a Yid brings the world close to Hashem, what's the first thing he has to do? Bring himself close to Hashem. And how does he bring himself close to Hashem? Min ha-behema, min ha-bokar, from your animal soul. In other words, this is the Avedas Ha-Adam. Where does it begin? It begins, my friends, with Avedas Ha-Tfilah. A Yid begins his day, and he studies Torah to get in the frame, a proper frame of davening, so your davening should be a mensch lecha davening. When you daven like a mensch, and you start your day off with a proper davening, davening is a ladder. It's rooted in the ground, and it reaches the very heavens. And through avodas ha-tefillah, a yid is able to reach from bechinas arza, from the mundane reality, he's able to reach shamayim, the very heavens. And that's the idea of kshayit atzmecha. And then after davening, he has to go mibeis haKnesses lebeis haMedrash. From davening, he goes to learn. You just start off his day learning. You learn the daily chumash or whatever else it is. And then hanik b'minig derecheres. Then you can make the world a better place. Then you can be mekarev in yana elam. Then you can bring it close until such time that you could even bring close the behema, the beasts out there, the wild animals, the bakar, the tzoin, and so on and so forth. That elevates the animal world, kipshutai. And then there's the nesachim, the libations, which represents taking the vegetative world and elevating it. And then there's the melech, then there's even the salt, which is brought in the korbanos, representing the minim world. And that's the concept of kshayit achayim. That's what we have time for today. Good Shabbos, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And kol tov.